It's Hughie. Hello and welcome to the first episode of 2022. Doing things a little different this time. Usually I like to do the interview thing or the music debate type thing, but instead the thing that I have to talk about is something that I started off my 2022 with, and that is the great Cobra Kai. I woke up on New Year's Day completely hungover. Well, not completely hungover, but hungover nonetheless, and Cobra Kai had just been added to Netflix season 4. I watched one episode and I realized I have to see the next, and this happened again and again until I ended up watching the entire season of Cobra Kai in the morning before I even had to shower, anything. It's the best TV show, or should I say series, out there. I fucking love Cobra Kai. I'm all about it. And on today's episode, we've got Billy Body's coming on to do for sort of a season review. I have to warn you now that we go full on into spoilers immediately. So if you haven't seen Cobra Kai season 4, I hope we ruin it for you, because you should have known that based on the title to not download it. But the one thing I have to admit though is that if you check out the video version of this review, which you'll see on YouTube, you'll see exactly why I'm doing Dry January. I have gained a lot of weight over Christmas, as you're supposed to, let's be honest. And it shows heavily in that video, which is over on Hughie Entertainment, which I will plug more in just a second. Just want to do a little shout out thanks to the boys from the Christmas finale, I should call it. Ski Mask and the beautiful Jim Stansel. Stansel at the minute is apparently recovering from an Omicron COVID infection. Something that I can happily boast about with all honesty is that it's now, at the time of recording this, it's January 6th, 2022. I still have not caught COVID, nor has anyone in the family caught COVID, nor has any of my friends caught COVID yet. I don't know if that's because we're vaccinated, boosted, I don't know. But thank fuck, and hopefully it keeps going for the rest of the year. But before we get to the review, I've just got to say it's time for the plugs. Do not forget to see the video version, as I mentioned before, of me being all fat and bloated, up on Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, if you haven't been a fan of professional wrestling, then go check out Keeping It 100 Official on YouTube. That's the official YouTube channel for the highly controversial podcast hosted by the legendary Conan and Disco Inferno. If you want to find me on social media, I'm at the Hughie on Instagram, at the Hughie on Twitter. Preferably Instagram, I'd like you to follow me there. And people keep DMing me and sending me messages. I don't reply to any of them. If you really want to contact me, leave a comment on Hughie Entertainment YouTube channel. I get every email notification about every comment, so I will get your message there. And I have to say that over Christmas, I got a vinyl player. My stepdad bought me a bunch of vinyl to start off my collection. So if you want to help me get more vinyl because you're great, great eggs, then go check out my Amazon wish list, where you will find linked on my Twitter page, which is at the Hughie. Go ahead and buy Hughie and Oasis vinyl like the good egg that you know that you are. Thank you, and the plugs are over. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to play the paid sponsors, not plugs, big difference, so that I can actually make a bit of coin from this episode. And once we come back, we will get straight into the heavily spoiler-tastic Season 4 Cobra Kai review. This is your second warning, so if you haven't turned off by yet and you haven't seen the show, we will ruin the show. And you can quote me on that. We'll be back in a minute, and take care. And Billy Body, hello. Support to you for It's Hughie Hello is brought to you by Manscaped, who just so happens to be the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. You know what I mean? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to keep yourself clean or keep yourself special, you know, for that big night out. Just say you have to be going to a big concert, say, I don't know, AC/DC stadium show. There's about 6 of you going away. You know that, right, something's going down tonight, so I'm going to trim my hell's bells. Use the wrong thing, you're going to end up cutting your balls and you're going to be on the highway to hell, if you know what I mean. One of my hilarious jokes there. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. And when I tell you this is premium, I actually mean this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. You gotta play it safe. You don't want to speed through that shit, cut one of your balls off. It's waterproof technology, so you can groom in the shower. It helps clean up easier. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, and I hope you are, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that drunk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. That's HUGEY at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And just as a little quick reminder, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HUGEY, HUGEY. And thank you for the sponsorship, and on with the show. This fantastic 5-star, unbelievable, history-changing episode of It's HUGEY Hello has been sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's be honest. In my opinion, 2020 going into 2021 has been a hell of a year, if you know what I mean. Right. Personally, I feel like I've aged 10 to 12 years over the last 12 months and grown. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Boing. That's not a sound effect. That's just one of my incredible, incredible skills. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, which is erectile dysfunction, by the way, you floppy penises. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor office, no awkward conversations about your small penises, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, thankfully, and it ships right to your front door in a discreet package. The process is simple. You sign up at bluechew.com, BLUE, like the color, chew, like the chew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills like quite a lot of us? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. Thank you! And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's the best thing. We've got a special deal for It's Hugey Hello listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HELLO at checkout. All you got to do, though, is just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com with the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our podcast. And on with the show. Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. If there's one thing that we've learned at the end of 2021 coming into 2022, it's that the fourth part in a franchise is always the best. Obvious example would be The Matrix Revolutions, the greatest film ever made. But instead of talking about that sure-to-win Oscar classic, we're here to talk about something else. We're here to talk about the almost flawless fourth season of the great Cobra Kai. And I know what everybody's thinking. Why would I want to watch a show with people who are less tough than me? This is what well, that would leave me with no options because nobody can beat me in a fight. up joining me today is a fellow Cobra Kaiist, the great Billy Body. Billy, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I actually asked you to do the show with me. I talk about so much shit which becomes repetitive and certain shows that I don't want to do. Like, so when I ended up watching this season, I was just dying to talk to people about it, be it about the where they're going next, the plot holes, how good it was, where does it rank in the other series. For me, though, in terms of a actual show, there's no comparison. It's head and shoulders above wrestling. It's head and shoulders above anything that's come out on Netflix this year. You can't make an argument for Squid Game or anything like that. This literally had me buzzing and cancelling things on New Year's Eve to finish it. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about this because I would enjoy talking about it. I will enjoy talking about it.
Yeah, on New Year's Eve, I was having a couple of drinks. I know what you're going to think. Me? Drink? No. But I was honestly thinking I'm not going to touch the hard stuff because if I'm completely hanging, I won't be able to function tomorrow and I want to watch this. And I binged the whole of the fourth season back to back, barring a few piss breaks. I couldn't get enough of it. And I've just realized I botched the fucking intro. I should have said, it's not hiya, Billy. It's hiya, Billy. That's hilarious pun of karate. But talk to me a little about the public reaction of Cobra Kai, because when I first heard about it, I thought this is just going to be like a spoof comedy making fun of your guy, Johnny Lawrence. What's his real name? William Zabatska or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought this is going to be like a YouTube parody show and they'll do like a Goonies one next and all that kind of shit. It ended up being a genuinely brilliant TV show. And Cobra Kai for me was, it was this weird mixture of like, it was like a parody of the Karate Kid. It was also a sequel to the franchise. And at the same time, they've got all these new characters that also make it a genuinely good dramatic show. And I just thought, like, I remember within less than one episode, I knew I'm fucking hooked in. What about yourself?
Yeah, for me, it's different. My New Year's Eve story is very different to yours. I actually had a plan for New Year's Eve. I had my son in the morning and he was going to the theater. So I knew I was going to start this and I knew that I was going to have to finish it on New Year's Day. But when the whole theater thing didn't turn out to be he's going to be out for the entire day, it turned out that he was going to be back in the area at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Suddenly, the COVID that I had on Christmas Day that hadn't been that bad at all, I told my buddy I was meeting up with that this COVID is pretty bad and I don't think I should be out on New Year's Eve and I'll catch up with you as soon as I can in the new year. So having that window to finish it from 8 p.m. onwards and not having to continue from episode 5 the next day, I decided to blow my buddy out. I decided to blow the new year out because I was just itching so badly. And I left it on that point where Silver walks into the Miyagi-Do garden and says that they need to talk. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to make it. There's nothing else I'm going to think of throughout this entire night out. So that's my level of commitment. So I carried on the New Year's Eve. As for how I started, I was very confused by the whole YouTube Red thing. And it was off-putting to me in terms of how I was going to watch this show. And I remember wanting them to release a DVD and whatnot, which was stupid because when they did release season 1 or 2, it was already a successful show that had done a deal with Netflix. Then they decided to release series 1 and 2 on DVD. So when I wanted that to come out, it wasn't there. So during the pandemic, I was late to this. Even though I was a big Karate Kid fan, I made the commitment to YouTube Red, even though I fully didn't understand it, even though I knew I was only buying it for one show. But knowing that there was nothing else to watch during the pandemic and not really being too high on Tiger King, I didn't get Tiger King. I didn't get the hype. I was disinterested after 3 or 4 episodes. I invested in this. And yet, exactly like you, 1 episode in, I regretted it immediately that I hadn't made the purchase. I didn't think it would be that good. And I didn't think that it would be flow so well from the film. We'd had previous experiences with the next Karate Kid. And we had Will Smith's attempt with his stupid kid. And I felt like it was going to be more of that. I didn't feel that it would be so true to the actual films that I loved because of I was burned by the previous like rehashes. So yeah, it was immediately I was hooked and I binged series 1 with my son throughout the entire day immediately.
Yeah. The thing about this show, what it's got, and I think the only thing that really comes close would be maybe Stranger Things or maybe even some Marvel films, and that literally the final minute of each episode is the best part of the show, and then it literally ends on a and the big secret is doof, what and then you've got to watch the next episode, and then that's not answered until halfway through the next episode.
It's the only other show for me that's not EastEnders, where you could have the EastEnders, the little theme, and people, Americans, will have no idea what we're talking about, but you know what I mean, with some of those Christmas, it's like the Christmas episode of EastEnders, every single episode, they really get you at the end. But the one thing I like about it, though, as well, is is just the consistency in terms of, you have your main characters, I guess the producers and the writers have them, but I honestly can't tell you who the main character is. Is it Miguel? Is it Daniel? Is it Johnny? Is it Kreese? Like, the story arcs are so good. You have to give it a wrestling analogy. You have like 10 main eventers on this show. And even from the winners of the tournaments in this series, it's almost like they got a push. Do you get what I mean? Like, they got elevated into a higher echelon of the show, that they're constantly creating arcs for everybody. And it's difficult to say this is a main character. This is the co-main character. That's one of the things it does so well.
But the thing that I love about it as well is that nobody's squeaky clean. Like, right. you even get Hawk, who, while he's a dedicated martial artist, he's clearly got mental health problems, and he's an aggressive bully. Even to the point that, despite the fact that he's a trained martial artist, he's still grouped up to pick on a much smaller kid. But that's, even though it's a TV show and it's a bit surreal, it's very realistic.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's nobody that's just out and out bad or tries to be. I feel that at some points in this series, that those trying to always go for the shades of gray, where you've got Tori being bad, but she's got a bad upbringing and she's got a difficult home life, and she's bad in terms of, like, she likes to pick fights and do the things that she does, but she's still looking after her mum at home, and she has had a bad upbringing. And then you have, like, I think Miguel is pretty pure, and I think you need to kind of offset that with a character that's bad. I know you're going through the story arc with Kreese, where you're doing the redemption arc with him. I felt the issue with that, when he was having the back and forth with Silver, was that, okay, we got so much gray areas now here. Even Daniel isn't squeaky clean, because he thinks he's very stubborn and he thinks his way is the only way. And you see that people are leaning more towards Johnny, who's more of a relatable character. And you started that from the very beginning with Johnny and Daniel, and then you spiked off all these arcs with Hawk and Tori and whatnot. You do have some outright bad characters who I think you need, in terms of, I forget his name now, but the Chinese kid in Cobra Kai. I don't think he has any redeemable qualities. I think he's just a complete dick. At the same time, you have Miguel, who's the complete outright babyface. I think with what happened in the end with Silver, I think you needed that. I think as much as the show was true to life, where there really isn't a human being which has a complete bad side. We have people that are more dickheads than they are good. I mean, I can be guilty of that myself. You hear me on some podcasts and some shows, and you think he's an arsehole. You hear me on other shows, or you see me parenting, etc., in my private life, you wouldn't think that at all. So there is that, but there is that to loads of people. But I think in order to move the show forward, we needed somebody to have no redeemable qualities. And I'm hoping that is Silver. I'm not looking for a story arc with Silver now where he has a little bit of good in him, or there's a reason why he's like this. I think we really need somebody to hate, and we need somebody to root for, because the shades of gray is great. Like, the whole two sides to every story thing is great. But I did feel like in this series, we were in a danger of doing that for everybody. And I didn't want that for everybody. I want someone to hate and like.
Yeah, that's actually one of the points that I've got here that I wanted to bring up, was one of the criticisms that I've seen about season four, and a lot of people are calling it the best season, but I've also seen people point out the fact, and I would agree, that they are really starting to repeat storylines, just like exact storylines, but with different characters. We had Miguel and LaRusso's daughter falling in love and doing all that shit. Now we've got Johnny's daughter and that other girl, whatever her name is, doing the exact same story. At the same time, we've also got the young kid getting bullied and picked on at school, to then, which obviously was the plot of Karate Kid 1, but it was also what happened with Miguel in season 1. Now it's happening with this African-American child, Black Lives Matter, and all that stuff. So now he's, it seems to be, but only he's gone down a different path, and he's become Cobra Kai and violent and stuff. What's your take on the criticism that while the show was very great, it's already starting to get repetitive?
I think that in itself is the nostalgia side, where you have to appease the people that want that. And I feel, obviously, if you're watching this going in, and you're not a Karate Kid fan, and you're not a hardcore Karate Kid fan, it may look like that to you. But for me, I think people get off on the Easter eggs as well, where Hawk, there's an Easter egg in there where Hawk says, weeks, how many weeks is weeks? And that's something that Daniel said in the first film. about how long Johnny had broken up with his girlfriend. And then we have the part where the kids say everybody's trying something new. That again is a line that was given to Johnny about Daniel talking to Elizabeth Shue, Ali, in the original film. There's loads of like Easter egg hotbacks that you have there, even from the music to the little bits in the scene. So I think that is seen as something that the show brings to the table in terms of the fact that it can recycle history with different characters. What they do, I think it's clever, is that LaRusso's kid this time is part of the gang, and the little black kid is playing Daniel, but the black kid's gone to Cobra Kai to learn his karate. So there's lots of different, as I said, there's lots of story arcs there. I feel that they have avoided some of the bad things or some of the real ridiculous coincidences that I feel that were rumored on YouTube, such as Ali was going to be Tori's mum, or Miguel's going to go to Mexico now, and Mike Barnes is going to be his dad. I think they'll alleviate all these ridiculous obstacles, and I don't think that they will do any of that. I thought it was good that originally they were not giving Tori's surname away. So a lot of guys online thought it was going to be Tori Mills, and then Ali was going to come in and be her mother. They just went with Tori Nichols. She's completely unrelated to it. So I think avoiding those coincidences allows them to repeat stories and just put it down to nostalgia. And the thing is that the whole bully and kid that gets bullied thing is repeated in everyday life anyway. So it's not unique for a new kid to come to school and be bullied. You can watch things on YouTube such as, have you heard of Darman?
No.
Those life lesson videos where, you know, they're ridiculous, they're very, very exaggerated, where you learn a life lesson through all of them. You know, the kid that gets bullied ends up writing an award-winning novel, and the guy that bullied him is like a cleaner in school. He's a school cleaner, you know, that kind of thing. And he gets, and then 40 years later, he gets inspired by the kid that he bullies. He reads his book and then he sorts his own life out, that kind of crap. So that, you know, there's things like that already all over YouTube. So, and all over television. So yeah, I don't have a big issue with that because it falls in line with the nostalgia that Karate Kid fans love. But the interesting thing for me is I don't know what your take on this is, but what do you actually think the big deal with nostalgia is? Because the thing with nostalgia is, what is nostalgia telling you? That life was always better at a different point. So whether you're 30 years old, you look back at something nostalgia and it brings up these feelings where you go, holy shit, my life was so much better when I was 10. And now like I'm 40 years old and I'm watching back and I get off on these nostalgic moments and old WWE Raw Rumbles and when Manchester United were good and the old Karate Kid films. And I think, oh, wow, like things were amazing back then, like 20 years ago. So are you saying, is nostalgia a way of them making money on the fact that we're always unhappier in the present moment and life was always better than it was now?
I literally wrote down, you won't be able to see it there, SJW. Because that's one of the things why modern shit isn't good. And it's another point that I've got to bring up about this season and Spider-Man Homecoming, which I don't know if you've heard is getting shit for making fun of the Me Too movement. If you haven't seen Spider-Man, this isn't a spoiler, but there's a bit at the start where he's running through a crowd and he's saying, excuse me. And a woman goes, he hit me. Spider-Man hit me. That's apparently Marvel making fun of the Me Too movement in the eyes of the SJWs. And in Karate Kid, there's a scene or there's a storyline where Johnny is trying to bring in females to what is it called, Eagle Fang?
Yeah.
And he does the whole social justice, your identity, agenda.
He learns feminism. He said, I had to learn feminism for this shit. Yeah.
That's got the SJWs furious. They think our struggle is not real, and they think it's cannon fodder for jokes and all this shit. And the reason why I bring that up is because back in the day, you didn't get that shit. Like, if you can go watch Matrix 1, it's an action film with this sort of cool dialogue look shit. When you get to Matrix 4, it's basically everyone should chop their dicks off and get cunts and You don't have a gender. It's like, or could you fight him? How about how you fight the fucking guy? I think that social justice warriorness has ruined pretty much anything. And I think that's why stuff like Spider-Man has done so well, why Cobra Kai is doing so well. Because
Do you feel that Cobra Kai succumbed to some of the criticisms they had, where a lot of people online were saying they don't have any black people in it? And do you feel that that kid was forced from the criticism? Do you feel that they responded?
In all seriousness, I didn't even realize there was no black people in it until pointed that out.
There was a big thing online, and I do feel that was a response.
Well, the world is never going to be fixed until every black person is happy. Then we can move on to hunger, homelessness. But first, make sure that Will Smith is in a good mood.
But yeah, well, it's like that for every black person and every member of the LGBT community. Like that has become the focus in the last couple of years to make sure that they're now completely happy. So I mean, and I believe that has almost gone the other way for me. Like in terms of, I feel there's a lot of talented black people now where they feel like they're getting the opportunity not based on their talents, because there's talented black people, yes, and there's lesser talented black people who are also getting their foot in certain doors, because there's all of a sudden this big movement to hand out opportunities in various vocations. Like I see, okay, Alex Scott is a female and she's black, but she's a very good pundit. Some of the other women on television that are covering football are a complete joke. I can't listen to them. I can't listen to Emil Heskey talk about football. I think he's awful. Whereas, like, you know, I see why Ian Wright's on there. I can't listen to Emil Heskey. Micah Richards as well, I don't think he's great. So I feel that there's a lot of that going on where, yeah, some good people are now getting through the door and they were denied their chance, but also some really terrible black people and terrible women are getting opportunities they don't deserve at the expense of people that deserve them a lot more. And I'll probably get criticism just for saying that, but I think I'm in a safe space talking to you. So on wherever this is going out.
In the Hughie Dojo. But speaking of black, we're now coming to another color, and that's silver. A lot of people had said that it took too long for him to come into the series and that it should have been revealed that he was bankrolling Kreese the whole time, because Kreese seemed to have an endless supply of finances finance stuff. Terry Silver has come back. He looked good. I wish, though, that when he came back to the dojo, he'd have dyed his hair. So that, because he still has all of his hair, and I wish he'd gone back to that. One of the things that I loved is the fact that when you watch Karate Kid 3, Terry Silver's fucking a lunatic. What they revealed in season 4 is that he was a cokehead, he was a heavy drinker, all this stuff. Just like, right, okay, I get it. I love the fact that it seems like Kreese made him relapse. And you could see the twist coming, and that they go for like dinner and shit. Next thing you know, they're drinking champagne and wine. As we go on, Silver starts losing his mind, snaps, beats the fuck out of that fat guy who's a big AEW mark. That guy's always at those shows, so boo. And so talk to me about what you thought of Silver coming back, the portrayal of him, and the way the season wrapped up with him going kind of jokerish.
When you're saying Kreese always had this money, are you talking at the beginning in the 80s films, or are you talking about when he's forming Cobra Kai during these seasons on these Cobra Kai series?
Yeah, in the 4 seasons of Cobra Kai, when he turns up, Kreese seems to have a lot of money, but it's never explained where from.
Yeah, that was one weird one as well, because Kreese, he obviously didn't have Silver's money because he was in a homeless shelter, which is where Johnny followed him to. So he didn't have any money. And then he ended up taking over the the Cobra Kai dojo, I can only assume that he ended up taking the money that Cobra Kai had already made or something. I have no idea. That's a good point. As for the way that Silver came in, sorry, I've got a message on my screen here. My internet is unstable, apparently. When Silver came in, I do feel that it was better that he didn't just pick up the phone and go, yeah, I'm going to come back and help you. Because then that would have led to the question, well, where was he? Where's he been throughout the whole Cobra Kai series? It was good that they weren't talking. It was good that he just didn't bow down and come along. It took three episodes for him to leave his life. From the one extreme to the other, I felt was a little bit far-fetched in terms of him having that young girlfriend and hanging out with that tofu vegan crowd and whatnot. I felt that was a little bit far-fetched to go from one extreme to the other. But that's what sometimes Cobra Kai does in terms of it tells like a very clear story. It's very idiot-proof in terms of you don't need to look for these intricate lines inside there and miss these little plot holes and look for these little plot twists. Everything is very, very clear. So they painted Silver as being this person who was now completely different away from Kreese. They clearly hadn't spoken since the end of the tournament in Karate Kid 3. And then he ends up with Kreese and they end up not getting along. And even in Kreese's arc, he's very flawed in terms of he's not like, oh, this great guy that just all of a sudden got mixed up with Cobra Kai and that's his only flaw. Like, he is using the life-saving thing from the army to manipulate Silver. He is manipulating Silver, and Silver does get sick of being manipulated. So whereas Silver's a clear villain and Kreese is going to come back and redeem himself, Silver was trying to shed his weakness, which was that he was being manipulated. So he's not completely at fault, although, you know, the more simplistic viewers of Cobra Kai won't see that side, and they'll see a clearly defined bad guy, which is what my son sees now. When he watched it with me, he said, oh, you know, he even said, oh, fuck Silver. So I fucking hate Silver. So, but he was beginning to like Kreese from the, obviously from the arc where we go into his background and see his girlfriend died and how he was manipulated by a drill sergeant, etc. But again, much like Karate Kid 3, I don't think Karate Kid 3 is a bad film. It probably doesn't have the greatest plot, but I think the acting on everybody's part, apart from Ralph Macchio, I don't think he's that great in Karate Kid 3. I think he comes across as a really irritating nerd. Like, he seems to be just too hyped up and too overexcited about things like macaroni and cheese. And there's just parts in Karate Kid 3 with Ralph Macchio that annoy me. But I feel the performances of all the villains are unbelievable. I feel that Terry Silver carries that film. And I feel like, in parts, he carries the series as well. I think that's a very, very good actor who completely understands Silver, and his performances when he's on screen is so captivating. I think it just goes past any kind of plot holes or anything else that you're looking for. And yeah, even small things like you say that when he came back, he should have fully dyed his hair gray. I agree and never thought of it myself, but I do agree. But I just do feel that his performances throughout, even when I was sitting there and I tweeted something out around about episode 7 or 8, and I said, I'm not sure I like this whole they're friends, they're trying to one-up each other. But then it all made sense at the end where it was like, he's done with him. Whenever they had any kind of disagreement in their past over the past 30 years, Kreese always pulled rank from the army. He was always like, hey, I'm the captain, I'll have the final say. And in the end, Silver just got sick of that and he decided that I'm the successful person, I'm the one with the money, I'm the one who's gone and done all this stuff for myself, and I don't need to be constantly paying back this debt from the army. I've paid that back and now I can get rid of this guy and do what I'm going to do. So, yeah, I feel like this was, for me, I don't know if you agree, but for me, I thought he was the best character on the show. I feel like his performances were just great every time he was on, from when he was being convinced to join, from the time that he did join, from when he went crazy and beat the shit out of Snake. Yeah, I felt that, and even in a tournament, just very realistic criticisms, and he wasn't over the top. And a lot of people in Cobra Kai are very, very over the top. But I just feel like he played it steady and perfect throughout the show. The only, and that's not to say anybody did it. The only character that I was critical of for his whole series is that I felt Miguel became very stroppy and depressing and always seemed to have a sad face on throughout, especially for the last three or four episodes. But that's the only one. I feel everybody was pretty decent, but for me, Terry Silver head and shoulders above.
I noticed as well that Miguel had gained weight throughout production. So they should have changed the name of the show to Cobra Pie.
But did you not feel that he gained weight? I thought he was bigger in the last series too. It was much like Daniel Macho looked bigger in Karate Kid 3. And I felt like it was the same thing this time.
Well, I think the real reason is because that actor is doing a DC superhero film. So I think he's trying to put on size to right. So he could turn. But at the end of season four, as Kreese is being led away by the police, Silver starts talking about, oh, I have friends that can help me run Cobra Kai dojos around the country. Do you think that means that Mike Barnes is coming in for season 5?
Yeah, I looked at the Sean Cannon's Twitter as the actor, and I can see that he has Cobra Kai in his avatar. He's also doing this fitness thing, which is like Cobra Fitness, something along those lines. So yeah, he has actually gone. He's not one of these people where you see people like in wrestling terms, you see a Vince Russo, whose whole everything he does is about the Attitude Era. He can't move forward with his life without talking about something that he did 23 years ago. It's like if I was still doing content based on Big Brother. It's like you very rarely find me doing anything that talks about it. And he's not one of these guys who can be guilty of that. He's not a guy who can say, I played a movie character in 1989 and I'm still trying to make money off it. You know, he's done other shows. He's a writer, he's a producer, he's been in other TV shows or whatever. But obviously with this fan base, and it's a very, very big fan base now, which is why this show goes to number one on Netflix immediately, and it will be there for a while. He knows that this role that he did in 1989 has actually got bigger. It's actually bigger now than it was when he did it. So he recognizes that. And he recognizes that when he returns, it will be the biggest thing that he's done. But he's not an actor that's just sat there and done nothing. So I can't criticize him for that. But that's why I think for him to acknowledge it to that extent, he's definitely going to be coming in. But again, a little bit of a storyline hole there. If Terry Silver has completely disconnected himself from Kreese off the back of the defeat in Karate Kid 3, why did you continue on the relationship with Barnes in any way if he was the guy that held you up for 50% of the dojos and then after negotiating really hard, he ended up losing the fight? He was the one who was in the ring who messed everything up for you. Why would you continue a line of communication in the real world with the guy that, not with the guy that saved your life, but with the guy who lost the fight for you, who was essentially a poor investment? What's the reason behind Barnes and Silver maintaining the connection over the last 30 years? They'll have to cover that plot hole because in real life, it doesn't seem feasible.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see it. But another thing, another criticism, sorry, I had a rice earlier, you know how it does, was the fact that at the end of season 4 at the tournament, to use a wrestling term, Kreese turned babyface, and despite the fact that he'd been a real cunt, frankly, from all three Spider-Mans, all three Karate Kids, in the way to four seasons of Cobra Kai. Well, he didn't come in until the end of season 1. Kreese was a real bastard, and just seemingly out of the blue, became a good guy. Was framed.
I disagree with you a little bit because he went and saw Tori Nichols' landlord in series 3. And then we had the constant backstory with Kreese throughout. He went to see Robbie in jail. Again, you could say that he was manipulating him to be so he could get Johnny's son into Cobra Kai. But we did have the thing with Tori. We had the thing with Robbie in jail where his advice was helpful. He saved Johnny from being beaten up by Silver. There were nibbles, shall we say, like over the past two series. So I don't think it was as out of the blue as you said.
True. But now he's like a full-on good guy. He's been framed for assault of a real brutal kicking of a snake. What did you think of that twist? Do you think that was a bit much, or do you think it was the only way to keep him fresh?
It's difficult. I feel that they needed to have their falling out. A full redemption storyline for Kreese is pretty far fetched, but at the same time, you would have said that too about Johnny Lawrence before series one. Hmm. Now, whether you get four seasons out of Kreese redeeming himself remains to be seen. I don't think you do. But in terms of if we really find a way to relay this message that Kreese always did care about Johnny and that always was his number one student and he always was trying to be the dad that he never had, very different to Miyagi, because it's hard to criticize somebody for their beliefs. It's hard to say, oh, you're a Christian and I'm a Muslim and I hate you so because you're wrong. And do you know what I mean? You can do it. You can pick massive holes in all religions, but it's hard to crucify someone for that. No pun intended. But I mean, in this instance, Miyagi teaches the very defensive style of karate, and Kreese believes that you should go about it yourself. But at the same time, let's look at it differently with two parents at school. Are you the parent who turns around and goes, if anything happens, Tommy, make sure you tell the teacher, or do you tell your kid, if someone hits you, hit them back? Kreese seems like the parent that says, if you get hit, hit them back. You can't criticize either parenting style. I would be more aligned with Kreese, to be honest. So that makes it very difficult to, obviously you're seeing how all of these events have played out, and Kreese in a sense almost becomes the victim of his beliefs. So once you start down one sort of path, you have to carry on doing that throughout. But at the same time, we also saw that Daniel isn't completely right, because his own daughter starts to question his methods and tries to win the tournament using the Eagle Fang Cobra Kai style of karate, which is the same thing. So we're seeing this throughout. We're seeing that there is no right, there is no wrong. And I think we'll see a lot more of that, whereas Mr. Miyagi is portrayed as this ultimate good guy and his way is perfect. And that sort of passes down to Daniel, and Kreese's way is completely wrong. I think we'll see that kind of taken apart in the next series. And see a little bit more about what Kreese was trying to do.
Well, speaking of season five, and just as we're getting ready to wrap up, I watched an interview with William Sabata or whatever the fuck is. I can never remember his name. He plays Johnny.
I think it's Zed Zabka. Zabka.
But we'll call him Johnny Lawrence just to be safe. He said that season five's already been filmed and everything. They filmed four and five back to back last year. I think he said season five will be out in the autumn, winter. So it's going to be an 11 to 12 month wait, but I can't wait for it. Question I have for you, though, is do you think they should wrap it up early or let it run on? The reason why I ask is I've just started watching the new season of Dexter. Dexter was a great show for four seasons that ran for seven seasons. It turned into some of the worst shit I've ever seen. But Cobra Kai at the minute is so fucking good. And now that it's on Netflix, I'm pretty sure everybody's getting paid really, really well. But at the same time, is it worth dragging it out for too long? Because I can't see Hilary Swank coming into the series, because for those that don't know, they made a Karate Kid 4 film back in the early 90s. I didn't watch it. where Daniel LaRusso wasn't in it, but Hilary Swank became the new Karate Kid. Her career hasn't gone great, despite the fact that she's a double Oscar winner. I think it's inevitable she's going to somehow come into the show soon. But after that, I really think they're going to run out of shit to do. So what do you think is coming in season five? And what do you think should be the future of the show?
It's difficult to say. We've from series one to four, we've seen 1 year of their lives. That's what people need to remember. So whereas you're looking at these characters and you're thinking, oh, this show's been on for 4 years. In actuality, the 1989 Cobra Kai isn't the 1989 All Valley. They're very clear about that on the show. They say that Daniel won in 1984 and he won the 1985 tournament. So whereas the film came out in 1989, they're very clear that he fought Mike Barnes in the 1985 tournament. Same situation here. Whereas they've never really said the show started, I believe, in 2017. Yep. So this tournament that we've just seen would be 2018 in their timeline. That's key to me, because it means that these figures of Tori, Sam, Robbie, etc., they can continue on and get to the next tournament where they'll still be under 18. So the problem starts to run out when they get too old to do another tournament. I do believe the future will be Robbie winning the tournament and doing it while his dad is training him. I think that is a very easy story to do. Eagle Fang didn't fare well in this tournament, and I feel like Robbie will win under Eagle Fang Karate. I think that is a storyline that you will do. With Miguel in the final, etc., and they can all, Johnny can hug them both at the end. And I believe that should be the end of Cobra Kai. I believe the Robbie Miguel final and Johnny's coaching Robbie and they all hugged, I think that should be the end. In between that, I don't know how long you stretch it out to. I would guess season seven, because you went from season one to season four without a tournament. So I would think season seven would be a good time to finish it without going stale. You have the introduction of Mike Barnes in series five. You have Miguel going to Mexico, which I can imagine things are going to get. If you watch the last Rambo film, when Rambo's daughter went to Mexico, she ended up being a prostitute who was trafficked and killed. And then he ended up setting up a home alone house in his own house, except with knives and guns, and ended up cutting a guy's heart out. So, you know, shit can go down in Mexico. And I think that Robbie is going with him. So it's interesting when Silver says to Kreese, I'll make sure I look after Johnny Lawrence. What's he going to do to Johnny Lawrence? How does Kreese get out of jail? I think there's too much to tie up for it to finish in one series. You have Kreese's redemption. You have Miguel trying to find his father. You have that relationship with Miguel and Johnny and Johnny and Miguel's mum. What happens with Tori and LaRusso and what's her name? Amanda LaRusso.
Yeah.
Who I think is a super MILF, by the way. I really like her on the show. She was she was in a like these yoga pants and this half top, and I didn't realize that she was, you know, all that like all put together like that. So she's someone I like on the show. But if you like MILFs. But there's so many arcs going into the next show. We also have the LaRusso kid starting school and learning karate with the Cobra Kai kid starting there at the same time. That's going to carry on as well. So there's so much going on that I feel that you easily get through the last two seasons. And I believe that season seven will survive without new characters, simply because there'll be very much a lot of intrigue going into the tournament. And I also feel they may say straight up, it's the last one. So when you say that, there's a lot of forgiveness, but there is no forgiveness for a terrible ending, which, you know, is the case with Seinfeld and other TV shows. I feel when we look at all of these TV shows, Friends is the one that comes out on top in terms of the one that delivered the ending where the fans were most happy. And that's really, really important. I believe if you're going to go into this now and you're going to say, we're doing five, we're doing six, we're doing seven. You better know where you're going. You can't be, to steal a wrestling term, booking on the fly. Mm. And I'm even interested to know when they finished series three. Was Hawk, did they know Hawk was winning then? Did they know Tori was winning then? Did they start a conversation when they started season four, when they were writing the script and go, okay, what are we going to do? How is this show being written and done? Is it being written two series at a time? Because I believe that once they got there on series three and did that series on Netflix, I think they took a wait and see approach, and four or five were written collectively, as I feel that six and seven will be written collectively. And then I think they'll reassess where they're up to. But I think you need to know what your last visual is going to be in Cobra Kai. Here's another interesting question. Does anybody ever die in Cobra Kai to enhance the storyline? Does Kreese get killed? Does Johnny die? Does somebody, is that going to be something that they end the season with to enhance the storyline?
That is not bad at all. What a cliffhanger. Like, is Daniel LaRusso dead?
Right. Like, I don't think it will be him, but yeah.
Yeah, but I've also noticed that Daniel LaRusso's hair implants are getting a little bit out of control. But, you know, Billy, just as we're wrapping up here, what would you like to plug to these low-class losers that listen to this shit show?
Yeah, the main thing I cover is sports betting, and I'm over at lockbetting.com. I've actually made profit from my clients for 103 months in a row. That means for over 8.5 years, I haven't had a single losing month in sports betting. You can try up on the small package, which is just a podcast pack, which is just $15 a month. Or you can go to the top premium package where your profit is guaranteed. And we've delivered that guaranteed profit for 103 months in a row. My wrestling content, my stories are released first on thedirtysheets.com. And then I will talk about them before anybody else over at Keep It 100. I'm on the Keep It 100 YouTube channel, which is run by Uzi. And from there, everybody will steal my shit and you'll see them taking credit for it throughout the rest of the weeks and months ahead. But yeah, everything is first for wrestling news over at Keeping It 100.
Hey, Billy, thank you very much for your time, and don't forget the stretch. You know, before you're fighting.
Well, did he not stretch for 3 hours or 4 hours or something?
Exactly. Take care and enjoy a drive.
Can I just tell you to people, this is not, in case you're wondering, this is not a computer, one of those backgrounds that you put in on Microsoft Teams or whatever. This is my son's bedroom. This is a real wall. These are real, like, bed sheets. And yeah, he has everything here. So yeah, this is all real behind me.
Yeah, and if anyone thinks I'm faking it, those are real curtains. They're very expensive looking, but H-Man can afford fancy stuff like this. Take care, and let's talk again before season five.
Yep, let's do that.
Okay, thank you, Billy, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Got some pretty good interviews coming up, which I don't want to announce because, as we all know, I've announced pretty, you know, stuff before and it's all falling apart at the last minute, so it's best to say nothing until it's locked and in the can. So that's all I've got to say to you. Hope you're having a happy new year. Actually, no, I take that back. I don't hope you're having a happy new year. I just hope you will download the next episode of the podcast and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Husey Entertainment. So it's Husey. Bye bye.